Yo, what up? Welcome to another Grizz 901 post game show, coming off of a loss 108-101. The Cavs got the best of the Grizzlies again, but you know what? The Grizzlies actually cover completely six games in a row. We have a lot to talk about tonight, but as always, we are Grizz 901, your favorite post game show. We are part of Bluff City Media. I'm your host, Daniel, and that is Nate. He will be joining me very shortly. As you saw, we have a brand new intro. If you missed it, go back, check it out after the show. But as I talked about off the top, this is a jammed-packed show tonight, so make sure you stay tuned throughout the entire thing, because off the top, we're going to completely game recap. We're going to hold off on the Steven Adams news, also the Mark Gasol news. In the second segment, instead of having our normal segment where we have our commercials like always, we have a never-before-seen interview from myself that I did with Mark Gasol way back in the day. It's 4 minutes long, so stay tuned for that. We're going to cover that right after our instant reactions to that. We're going to hit on Grizz Trivia, and then we're going to get into the Steven Adams stuff, and then we'll wrap it up and put it on a bow, as we always do, and give you a little game preview. So that's a lot. I told you we have a big show planned. So let's go ahead and waste no more time. Let's go ahead and get into it. All right, Nate. What up, man? How was the game? How'd you enjoy it?
It was fun.
That's it.
I'm sad. Dude, the right minute enough. You could just the bleach shots and just start like bleach boarding yourself, like whatever the waterboarding version of drinking bleach would be. Like, that's what the Roddy minutes were tonight. That's terrible. Wow. Plus, he's still a rebound from Vince, and I finished a half rebound behind. So, you know what? Still love Roddy, but God, I'm close. That was, now I'm losing money. This is unbelievable.
Listen, the Grizzlies shot 41.1% from the field overall, 31.6 from three, going 12 of 13, 38 overall. The best thing we could do, trade out our big man and get smaller. That's the best thing we could do. Just keep on shooting more threes. That's what we're all about here, the Memphis Grizzlies. No, but I do have some important stuff I want to talk about within the Adams trade. I don't want to get into that just yet, but it does need to be talked about. Sneaky smart, even though I do love Steven Adams. We'll give him a good send-off. Yeah. But overall in the game, other than Roddy, initial thoughts. You know, the Grizzlies lose 108-101, and that itself was ugly enough. I did see a comment that I want to get to real quick before I get to you. I think it was in the very beginning. 1 second. It was about closing.
John 17.
John 17. We were doing fine, then just get stupid in the last couple minutes. Should have won that game too. Listen, I completely understand, and I completely agree. The problem is we don't have a closer on this team right now. Like, our closer is Ja Morant. Our closer is Desmond Bane. And our other closer is David Roddy, and none of them have been, playing. So it is what it is.
Got bad news, John. It's not that we get to the last couple minutes and start sucking. It's that we get to the last couple minutes and the other team's like, oh, yeah, we have real NBA talent and start going in. Like, honestly, it is what it is. Like, I mean, we're drinking again, but that's just because I'm less sick than I used to be, but still sick. The problem is you got guys that have, like, their actual NBA rosters, right? We've got guys who can play. Like, we got guys like Vince, and we got guys like Gigi, who obviously had a really rough night, but Jaren, et cetera. It's just, the problem is they've got Donovan Mitchell, who is an actual NBA all-star, right? Like, yeah. They've got Darius Garland, who would be an all-star if he was on a team that didn't have Donovan Mitchell, because they're both really good, but it doesn't work with both of them. Anyways. Like, they're missing guys, but we're missing like an entire playoff lineup.
Yeah.
Like, it's, so to be honest, I didn't hate the game. I mean, the Roddy minutes were abysmal. That was just, everything about it was horrible. That was terrible. Other than that, like, we got the first trade Jamison minutes, which I was really happy with.
Yeah.
Like, he played really well. He did exactly what you were hoping he would come in and do, which is just defend, rebound, be all over the court. So love seeing that. He looked like he fit, and for a guy who got here yesterday, that's pretty good. So good to see that. I thought Jaron played really well till he got into foul trouble. Vince was playing really well, and Gigi looked fine. The shot just wasn't falling. Like, honestly, I thought Gigi looked fine tonight. Shot wasn't falling. There was one time where he went to box out Santi and then gave up a layup and looked around, and I was like, dog, that's you. that was you. It was good. But I want to ask you if you saw something that I saw. First off, the cheap whiskey is Larceny, which is 100% a cheap whiskey. But it's a cheap whiskey that doesn't suck. So there we go. It's no Blantons tonight. Did you at any point have the same thought I have of like, God, imagine if Jake LaRavia was Sam Merrill instead?
We used to have Sam Merrill, unfortunately.
I know. I was like, man, we sent the wrong one. I'm sure it was before Jake was here, but I was like, God dang, that sucks.
Like, is Sam Merrill good? He's fine.
He can play in the NBA, which is a step up.
It's fine. He doesn't move a needle for me. It doesn't get me out of bed.
It's better than moving it negatively, which is what we got a handful of guys that do.
Would you rather have Vince Williams or Sam Merrill?
Vince Williams, dummy.
That's the question. Like, we're talking about guys that won't play. Like, he's fine. Sam Merrill should not play on this team when healthy.
Okay. First off, you're taking this way too damn serious. Take your foot off the gas for a second, buddy. I'm just talking about another way to get Jake LaRavia off the team in my fantasy world. Why are you making that not happen for me? Like, we just traded Steven Adams. It's been a rough day. I can't just imagine a world where I have someone not named Jake LaRavia on the team. What's wrong with you?
It's the middle of the season. We're talking about Sam Merrill.
You're trying to steal my last bit of joy, which is fantasizing about Jake not being on the team.
If that gets you a chub, then so be it. But I'm gonna hopefully push your chub down. All right, let's go ahead and get into a little bit.
I don't want you anywhere near my chub. What is wrong with you? What's wrong with you tonight, dude? We gotta get somebody else in here. I need Kenny back in here.
Promise. All right, real quick.
You be clear. I could care less about Sam Merrill.
You love Sam Merrill.
You're such an idiot. I don't even know why I'm here.
Same. We do have a packed show, but as always, Streetcars of Memphis is our comment section sponsor. They do any kind of regular maintenance at all that you might need, plus the modifications from lights, speakers, lift, wheels. They do them all. Use the code Grizz and I want to receive a $55 regular oil change or $65 for full synthetic, baby. It's an oil change at cost. So it's huge savings that's happening down at Streetcars of Memphis. Go ahead and check them out online at 901SCM.com or call 901-323-3332. Let them know the Grizz 901 team sent you. But make sure you tell them Nate sent you, because you know how Nate is. You know, he'll get angry if he doesn't get his way. And so, as you can tell, he never gets his way over here. All right. So, Big Chubb, let's talk about some of these real quick in the comments. I got a question. Playboy Danny wants to know, did you see David Roddy play tonight? We're just wanting to just double check, make sure you saw that.
He said, did you say David Roddy? It'd be helpful if you could read.
I have a lisp. Medical condition.
Okay, well, that sucks for you, idiot. Wrong show to have a lisp on. Yeah,
Jake LaRavia.
David Roddy, and I said David Roddy. It was terrible.
Jake
the Roddy fan club down bad after that game.
Jake LaRavia outlasted another one. What's your thoughts on that?
I mean, yeah, he's unfortunately got the contract to outlast far too many people. It's really sad.
All right. Well, Kenny wants to make sure that everybody knows that you're captivated by that Sam Merrill. It is Valentine's season. Speaking of Valentine's season, we'll get into a little bit of what Heaven's Healthy Kitchen is doing, the Valentine's Day pop-up shop. So stay tuned for a little bit later. But let's go ahead and finish on the game. I don't want to spend too much longer. Let's spend a few minutes on this, and then we're going to kind of get into what else we have. If you missed the very beginning of the show, we are going to talk about the game as we always do. And then instead of having a kind of a commercial break that we normally do, we're going before segment two, we're going to play a never before seen interview I did with Marc Gasol way back when my audio was terrible. It was very beginning of COVID. It was random. He wasn't even a Grizzly anymore. It's about 4 minutes of a pretty good interview. He talks a lot about Memphis and his appreciation of Memphis. After that, we'll get into Grizz trivia, talk about Steven Adams trade. We'll discuss a little bit more about Marc Gasol and then finish it out, third segment, with the Warriors, who we play tomorrow night. So back-to-back. Let's get into it. I know somebody talked about Caris LeVert. LOL, nope. Jones, I believe it was you that talked about Caris LeVert. Caris LeVert tonight was somebody who played well, but he was only 1 of 4 from deep. We thought he would play and shoot much better, but 6 of 10 overall, 16 points is a good game out of him. Anybody else on that Cavs team that you're like, hey, man, like, I'd love to have them other than Donovan Mitchell?
Jared Allen.
Maybe Jared Allen. Okay.
Besides those Jared two. Allen is hands down the guy, especially now, like, especially given today's events. I've always liked Jared Allen, and I would love for him to be a Memphis Grizzly. Outside of that, I mean, you got talent like Mobley, but it overlaps with Jaren, so that makes real sense.
I agree. We are forever the stepbrothers of Grizz Media, for sure.
Whatever.
So, GG, thoughts on GG. Bad game night. Charlie Vine said he needs to kind of just take a deep breath. As I've said in his career in the early stages, this is why I don't worry about starting him. I don't care. I want to keep everything as consistent as possible for this guy, because he's going to have the highs and the lows on a roller coaster type, just because he's young. So, any thoughts on GG just kind of playing a subpar game, 3 of 14 overall, 1 of 8 from deep?
I'm surprised he ended up making 3, but listen, it's going to be the ups and downs. Like, he looks like he belongs, and it's going to be okay. Like, he's going to have nights like tonight. It was different than the Roddy 1 for 12. Is that what Roddy ended up at? It was around that for sure.
Where is he? Oh yeah. 1 of 12 overall. 0 of 2.
1 of 12. So anyways, beside the point, it looked different because Roddy looked like he was forcing it all night.
Yeah.
He looked like he was forcing it all night, whereas GG, everything was within the flow of the offense. I mean, you know, like, I'm self-proclaimed president of the David Roddy fan club. I was sitting there like, dude, you got to get him out and put GG in, because GG was, again, all in the flow of the game. Right. Roddy was forcing stuff, man, and it was just brutal. I mean, they got lucky on one. He had a terrible possession, ended up getting the ball back. First thing he does is jack up a 3 on the first touch out of bounds play. Luckily, it falls to GG, who gets it to Gilliard, who hits the 3. But I'm like, dude, you can't do that. And I think he looks like he is nervous about trade season. Like, he's playing like he's nervous about trade season.
Huh.
Right. That's what it looked like tonight. Cause I haven't seen him force stuff to that extent pretty much ever as a Grizzly. Yeah. So, could 100% be part of the impact tonight, but Gigi's going to be fine. Not worried about it. It's, again, shots that he's made plenty while he's been here. It's going to be okay. And then Pete, God bless him, Pete jinxed us on the free throws. He said they were 14 for 14. We missed the next two. GG had one of them. It's crying shame.
Real quick, King Mix is saying GG's young. He's going to have games like this. But he definitely wants him on the team. But Roddy, though, yeah, that might be an issue. Listen, I like Roddy. I think he is what it is. I think he's just playing a little bit over his head.
Yeah.
I will say one thing that Grizz Girl said, when Roddy's there, the ball sticks a little bit. And that's what she's kind of talking about. The ball's not moving. And so with it sticking with him, a lot of times you end up forcing some shots because the ball is with you and in your hands too much. And then the defense is able to, they're overreacting. The chaos is kind of gone because the ball stalls. The ball kind of keep moving. It might help him out a little bit, or catch it on the move. And that's what we talked about very early in the season. They weren't doing. But real quick, another shout out for Grizz Girl is the best post game show. I can't talk tonight. Appreciate that as always. And as Kenny says, smash the like button. Hey, listen, y'all got us up last time. We're in the 80s, 90s, whatever it was at one time when we gave away some monies. But do me a favor. There's plenty of people here. Go ahead and close the chat if you're on mobile. Hit that like button. It's very easy. If you're watching it on Twitter, go ahead and hit the like button and then share.
All right. Hold on. There's one thing, because I don't think there's much to take away from this game. Again, I thought the guys competed really well tonight. And night in and night out, that's all you can ask for. I mean, these games that they're in, there you have no business being in. And they're still finding a way to compete and stay in these games. So I'm really happy with everything I saw tonight. The Roddy minutes were the only thing that was bad. I really liked the Jemison minutes. Really liked Trey's minutes. Like, I thought they were really good. Jaren looked good until he got in foul trouble. The two main things I took away from that game that we haven't talked about. One, Jenkins has got to learn to start using that challenge early on the Jaren fouls that aren't fouls. Like, he's got to do it. And because at this point, like, you don't have Ja Morant or Desmond Bane. When Jaren goes off the court, like, you don't have anybody on the court as talented as anyone they have on the court other than Vince, maybe, right? That's so you're out of luck. And so I understand that there is like the potential of what happened with the Kings the other night. Mark Brown took that challenge. They didn't have it for 47 minutes, right? Like, that can happen. But at the end of the day, even if it's Jaren's first foul, if it's not right, he's going to get three more that are, and you can't challenge him.
Yeah.
So you've got to start using them. So that's one thing I'm like, dude, you've got to start doing that. The second thing is, and I want to preface this in case there's any Timberwolves fans that happen to be rooting for the Cavs tonight, of this didn't affect the game whatsoever. But my God, that might be the worst officiated game I've ever seen.
It's been bad this year overall. Just
dude, but that was next level. In a season full of horrid officiating moments, like, that was one of the worst officiated games I've ever seen. I mean, they got replay reviews wrong a couple times. I mean, and like, listen, I actually tend to be one of the people who likes when Tony Brothers officiates a game. Yeah. Because you at least don't get one of the young idiots. But, dude, that was one of the worst games I've ever seen in my life from an officiating standpoint. It was terrible. And again, it went both ways. It wasn't just against the Grizzlies. It was just brutal to watch. I mean, when Donovan got a tech, I was like, yeah, get him, Don. Like, yeah, I was like, go get him. Like, somebody needs to get in him. But, anyways, I couldn't let it go without saying it. Again, for all my Timberwolves / Cavs fans, didn't affect the game. Cavs would have won anyways. But good God, that was awful. Can't let it slide.
Yeah.
We hold people accountable on this show.
Especially when Santi gets his, as Keith is saying, Santi getting his shirt just pulled right in front of the ref. Like, literally, he's right there and the shirt pulls. Like, come on.
I was dumbfounded. It was terrible.
Yeah. So obviously we have a lot to talk about. Let's go ahead and wrap up the game. We'll get into that. The Marc Gasol talk. That I know a lot of people, you know, have been interested to hear, but also just kind of just in general, you know, any final thoughts on the game tonight? We'll probably talk about it throughout, just in general, you know, common knowledge, whatever, but anything else you want to hit on in depth?
Well, the one thing, I mean, no, not really. I just see some stuff about like people starting to drink Goon's Kool-Aid talking about Jaren wasn't good tonight. Like, dude, he was 2 for 6 from 3. 5-5, 25. He had 3 blocks, a steal, 10 for 23 from the field. And quite frankly, he should have been 10 for 18 from the field with double-digit free throws. Like, yeah. What are we talking about, man? Like, he somehow still has one of the worst whistles in the NBA. He just won Defensive Player of the Year. Like, the guy can't buy a call. It's ridiculous. I don't understand it. So, listen, if Jaren sucks, we'll come on here and say he sucks. He did not suck tonight.
Nope, and as Kenny said, Goon's going to be the first in line. Get that autograph from Triple J. You know, listen, I just – what I look at this game is you have to shoot well from three-point, especially with the way this team is built. I know we're going to get into the Adam stuff, and I want to ask your thoughts on what it is. And obviously, this trade that happened kind of, you know, it hurt me because I was – 2 minutes before starting my girls' basketball practice tonight. And so my phone is blowing up. I'm trying to send out as much as I can, trying to read as much as I can while I'm about to blow the whistle to yelling at them to start running. Like, we're going to get into it and what this means for the Grizzlies. I don't think they're done yet. But just looking at this, I think we're seeing a lot of Jaren at the five. And I know a lot of people want to run Jaren with Trey Jemison, which is fine. But I think they're trying to see what Trey's got himself. I think you're going to see more of them playing together, but like, there's no bigs. And so you have to go with Santi being the other big, you have to space them out. If not, if you run them together, it's got to be a short 2 minute span here and there because you do need the size of Trey, but also Jaren. Once you get his X back, I think it'll be better. But overall tonight, you have to hit your threes. The Grizzlies did. The only person that shot well, honestly, was Aldama, and then 2 of 4 from Jacob Gilliard. That's it. Like, in the end of the day, it is what it is. But listen, Jared Allen went out, pissed me off because he ended up with 9 rebounds when he's on his way to like 20. But besides that, yeah, it is what it is. But overall, the Grizzlies, you know, they take the loss 108-101. Another loss. They are now 18-30. That play-in is getting farther and farther away. But before we get there to all that, I know I want to show you all the Marc Gasol clip this 4 minutes. Let me talk 1 second about this, and then I'll get your thing before we get out of here. The NBA trade deadline special that's going to be with Bluff City Media. It is going to be on the 8th. So make sure you join throughout the day. We'll have different guests on talking about, you know, the trades that might be happening live that are other than just the Grizzlies. We want to cover NBA wide, but we're going to get into how this might affect the Grizzlies. So always going to try to turn it around and somehow intertwine the Grizzlies within this. I will be hosting for, you know, a few segments throughout the day. I know Mark will be as well, Mark King. And then we're going to have on so many different other people throughout here. So just stop by. It will be shown on YouTube Live. We'll also stream it on Twitter. Unfortunately, our Twitter died tonight again for whatever reason. I did bring it back up. I'm hoping it's back live. But if it does die, you can always watch it on Grizz901. It's somehow staying good there. So we might have to figure out what's going on there. But tune in to the trade deadline special. Last thing before we get to the interview. What's up, Nate?
Oh, I just wanted to say the last thing I don't think we hit on. I thought Scottie Pippen looked good tonight.
Yeah, he was fine.
He continues to look like a guy who you don't want as your backup point guard, but a guy who can be your last guard. So I think he's looked good in the role he's been put in.
That's all you can ask for. That's all. You ask for somebody who can step up at times, somebody who keeps getting better. He's going to have his valleys. He's going to have his peaks. As long as he's continuously pushing that up, that's all you can ask for. All right, let's go ahead and get to this. This is about a little bit over 4 minutes. It's all about, you know, when I first interviewed him, it was a bunch of people that were on here, so don't mind them at the bottom, that we all got to get on there and ask some questions. I was the only one that was given this amount of time, and I don't know if it was because I was from Memphis, Mark liked my questions, but it was time that I was allotted. So let's go, and I hope you enjoy.
All right, so as you know, Z-Bo and T.A. are both retired, and their jerseys are retired. So a two-part question, what will it mean to you to have your jersey retired by the Grizzlies? But also, what does the city in general, I know you spoke on it briefly, but what does the city in general mean to you and your family?
So the first part, the jersey, I can't even imagine, you know, that kind of night. You know, I'm not a guy that thinks about that often, but it's just a great honor, right? It's just like, you know, I started going to the Pyramid when I was, you know, younger, and I was a fan before I was an NBA player for the Grizzlies. So to me, like, the whole process, it's like a movie to me that I can't really comprehend. I used to go to the Germantown Center and play basketball there when we didn't have basketball practices at Lausanne, just because I like playing basketball so much, and I knew that every day at a certain time there would be people playing there. And me and my teammates used to go there all the time. So Memphis means a lot to me. You know, it's a place that I was so happy once I had a chance and an option to go to the NBA. It just made a lot of sense to go to Memphis. And I even joking with my dad, I would tell him, you know, I'll go to the NBA, but only if it's Memphis. And I was drafted by the Lakers at that time. But I told him too, like, but I don't want Powell there. I don't want Powell to be on my team. I don't want to be sharing locker room with my brother. Like, I, you know, so crazy enough, we get traded for one another, and I end up in Memphis and having, you know, great memories there as a player and more especially as a man. And like I said, I'm sure I'll be back there at some point. I don't know if it's going to be in a year, 2, 3, 4, but I'm going to be back in Memphis a lot because it's a place that I hold, you know, very close to my heart.
That's awesome. Yeah, Daniel, we were supposed to play. Yeah, what's up?
What's your favorite Mark memory?
Wow. Probably the Conor McGregor strut was probably one of the best after the shot. That was, you know, that's iconic. That's on every GIF you find. I always kind of slide that into any kind of group chat I have, I slide that in there, you know, on a good day. So that's probably my favorite gift for sure. And memory.
Yeah, that was I almost did it before that. Like the funny part, like that game was kind of close and, you know, we got going later on and 1-3, like maybe I hit a 3 before that. And I kind of took one step and almost did it because we watched the fight. We watched the fight as a team, the night before, two nights before. And I was so impressed by his confidence doing it. And I just enjoyed it. Right. I enjoyed the show. So once, you know, my Dave, Fitz drew the play and told Mike, you know, if DeAndre helps, just, you know, he gave the open side. If DeAndre helps, just kick it to Mark let it fly. And he drew it and the play happened the way he thought. And you know, and the Strahd came out and yeah, we won the game.
That's awesome. Is that your favorite moment, such as celebration moment?
The good thing with Memphis is that I had a lot of great moments. You know, right. To me, beating the Spurs, the first playoff run, beating the Spurs right. As an eighth seed, that was pretty special. You know, being halfway, right? Like passing two rounds, playing the Western Conference Finals with the Grizzlies, that was, I think, super cool too. Seeing, feeling the energy from the city, right? That to me, and bringing people together in Memphis, no matter what your background was, you enjoyed that team and you all came together as a fan base. And that to me was the beauty and is the beauty of sports, how has that power of bringing people together from a common goal, no matter, you know, what happened. And in the past, like people cheer for the common goal. And I really enjoy that.
All right, Nate, what's your thoughts?
You've gotten a lot better at interviewing. Nah, man, that's pretty cool. I didn't know you'd done that. You said Mark Gasol interview, and I was like, I haven't seen any Mark Gasol interview. But no, that was good, man. That was cool to hear him be able to talk about moments that we as fans clearly remember, right? Like when that was, Patrick asked you, what's your favorite Mark Gasol memory? Like the first thing that pops in my head is a Connor. I think it's everybody. Like yeah. It's truly iconic with Mark Gasol and Memphis being here. So that's really cool. I didn't know you had done that, to be honest. Where was that from?
I have no idea. I don't even remember what it was about. It was something to do with, if you remember, it was the locker room back in the day when audio, it was just kind of like rooms that they had for sports people. And then eventually got bought by Spotify Live. And then they just completely threw in like millions and millions of dollars into it and then just killed it. But there was somebody that was over that came in there and asked the question and asked, like, does anybody want to interview Mark Gasol? And I was a Grizzlies person. And so I guess they pulled my name out of hat to do it. It was random. Like, I didn't even know I was going to do it that day. I got an email. It was like, hey, we're going to do the Mark Gasol interview at 2:00. And it was like noon. I was like, well, F, I don't know. Like, I got to figure out something. And so no, it was cool though to actually hear him talk. But like the fact that, I was, you know, I'm down the street from Germantown Athletic Center. And so that's where he was a lot while, and he even went to Lausanne. And so it was cool, man. It was a cool moment to get to speak with him and hear him talk. So, cool about Memphis because that was back in 2020. Yeah. So it was after he had, went out and it was with the Toronto Raptors. And so he still, kind of oozed a little bit about the Grizzlies.
Well, and I think that's one thing that's super cool about the core four, and you hope that you get that with this next gen era as well. But every single one of those guys legitimately loves the city.
Yeah,
it really loves the city. The Gasol brothers obviously spent a lot of just time there, not just basketball time, but like lifetime in Memphis
for sure.
Conley, Tony, Zebo, all of them. Are super involved in the city, love the city, which is really cool. That's not how it is.
It's not
a lot of people, right? Like you think LeBron and LA are going to be super tight when he might apparently get traded here in the next week or so. Like that's not how that goes. Right. And so it's really cool to see that and to hear that, right? Like you kind of hope that you have a connection to players with your team and you kind of establish a connection in your head. But to hear a player having that actual connection is really, really cool, man. And, you know, and Austin just put this in the comments as well, but the Gasol brothers, Gasol family is just really, really good people. So it's cool to see a personal side of players like that and it be what you would absolutely hope it is.
Wasn't it funny to hear him say that I don't want to go play where my brother is?
Yeah, right.
I was like, all right.
Well, makes sense.
It's the competitiveness. Like people forget about how competitive these athletes are. Like, I don't want to go where my brother is. I want to be my own person. And he was.
Yeah, 100%.
It was great. You know what else is great? Pews. From flower shops, commercial landscape, maintenance, Pews has been around the Mid-South for 30-plus years. But now they are within the residential spray business, and they are killing all the weeds. Go ahead and give them a call. Pews Residential Spray can take care of all of your weed control and fertilization needs. If you want to create that perfect weed-free lawn, then go to call Pews Residential Spray today for a free estimate, 901-633-2118, and let them know that the Grizz 901 crew sent you. And remember, Pews, you get a big company strength, small company values. One thing about Pews, I talked to them today. They're very happy with how everything's been going. If for some reason, if you have any questions about that, I just had mine sprayed yesterday. It looks great. And so they take care of a lot of my stuff. And so if you have any questions about them, reach out to me. But two, give them a call. They'll be more than happy to come out for free and give you just a kind of a free estimate on it. And I promise you, you might be a little shocked by how cheap it might be. But you know what else we got, Nate?
Yes, I do. This music, dude.
All right.
To the comments.
It is time for Grizz trivia, as it always is. And tonight is all about Mark Gasol. The Grizzlies are going to retire his number on April the 6th. And so shout out to Big Spain. He paved the way for guys like Slim Spain. So the question tonight is going to be about what team leader, what franchise leader is Mark? What records does he hold? Currently, there are many. Let me give you the ones that are rarely forgotten about. He is first in minutes played with 25,917. He's also leader in field goals of 4,341, two-point field goals at 4,040, two-point field goal attempts at 8,103, free throws at 2,701, free throw attempts 3,474, and first in turnovers. I forgot to write that number down. So all of those are kind of ancillary things, right? There are main key stats that he still leads in. He leads in two categories. Nate, can you name the other two categories that he is the franchise leader in?
Buzzer beaters / game winners. I don't think they keep track of that, but I bet that is correct. Did you say general rebounds?
I did not.
I would say rebounds.
Mark Gasol is the franchise leader in rebounds with 5,942. What is the other one?
You said free throws made, and you said free throws attempted?
Yes.
Okay. So rebounds. No, surely that's not right.
Just know that you're going to give a guess. If you get it right, you get it right. If you don't get this guess right, you get it wrong. Just want to make sure we're on the same page.
I'm going to say blocks.
God, dog it. Mark Gasol is the franchise leader in blocks with 1,130.
The GOAT! I'm so good at this, dude. I am so good at your stupid little game. I'm so good at this. It's unbelievable. God, man, I impressed myself. I'm a legend in my own mind, dog.
That was pretty good. I'll give you a shout to you. So shout out to King Mix with the blocks. Mark Gasol was the defensive player of the year in 2013. Does this make sense? He was not the NBA first team in 2013.
But T.A. was.
He was on the NBA second team, and then he was on the NBA defensive second team in 2013, even though he did win. But he also was first teamer in 2015. He was an all-star three times in 12, 15, and 17. Shout out to Marc Gasol. He was obviously one of the core four members. You know, a beautiful career that he had. He's now living it up in Spain. And so shout out to the big fella who really does represent Memphis and really does love the city, loves the people. He's going to get his, hopefully it's not one of those stupid records that's get retired. It needs to be a jersey. You hang the jersey up, F the record, take the record off the wall. That thing looks stupid. Let's do it the right way and retire his actual jersey.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of the record whatsoever. So many people who are. Like, it's a jersey. Let's make him a jersey.
Retire the jersey. All right, that's all we got on that. Let's go ahead and get into the part that we all have been kind of just waiting to talk about is the Steven Adams stuff. So initially, when you heard that initial thoughts about Steven Adams trade, I want to know the comments in the comment section, our guys there and ladies, what's your thoughts on it? You think it's a good trade, bad trade, or is it kind of a wait and see?
You got to wait and see because it feels like the move to set up the move, whether that's another trade that's coming in the next week or like
I don't get.
It's cool when Lane says it.
Gosh,
let me put the glasses back on. I'm trying to protect my eyes. God dang it. It feels like it's got to be the move to set up the move. Like it's either they are going to make another trade within the next week to bring in a center, which is what I'm hoping happens, or they're creating flexibility for this offseason and they're going to try and draft that in or make that play in the offseason. I'm just going to be honest. I'm going to be pretty pissy if they end up drafting a center. Like, it's only because it's one of those things where it's like you can have really good talent there and think, hey, we're gonna make this guy happen. Like, he's going to be a huge part of our core going forward. Like, you had the 10th overall pick, and Zaire Williams is, like, can't get traded right now. So, like, I don't want a guy who you think is going to be really good or you hope is going to be really good. Like, I want someone who can help you win next year. Like, that is what I want. So it's all wait and see. But I'm going to be honest. Like, I'm not the, hey, let's go draft a center. Like, no, go get somebody you know can do the job for you.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's – because if not, you probably just traded a guy who can. Now, I know, like, our guy Chris – has been swearing by, hey, they're going to, like, the vibe's been bad. Steve don't want to be here, all that stuff. For all I know, that's completely true. In which case, it's like you got rid of a guy who didn't want to be here, right? But personally, I know the whole draft a center thing is going around right now. I have no insider info. That could be it. Dog, it's time to win. You don't want another 18-year-old. You don't want a guy that may contribute. You want a guy you know fits with the guys you have now. And so I'm hoping it's a move to set up the move.
Yeah. So there's a lot of people saying, you know, they kind of better pull something out of somewhere. And Black Ninja DJ is, you know, asking, you know, drafting a center. Like, I'm not sure. I don't. I think Sane's saying the same thing is, you know, he really wouldn't draft a center. He'd be shocked if they're drafting a center. Listen, I don't know if I'd be shocked, but you're not drafting a starting center. That's what you're not doing. You're not drafting a starting center. Let's just be crystal clear. That's not happening. If you're drafting anything, you're drafting a backup center. But the problem is with that is you potentially want Jaren to be the center if you want to be the best version of yourself. No. I don't even know if Jaren will ever be that position. He's showing, you know, strong potential. I don't know if he'll ever be there. But let me give you the reason that the Steven Adams thing happened. And this is the sneaky thing. And this is what John Hollinger wrote for The Athletic. I can read it for free. I don't know, some of them you can, some of them you can't, but I actually made an account for free and you can actually do it. But he says Memphis also generates a $12.6 million trade exception for Adams because it can take Oladipo's expiring contract into that $12.5 million injured player exception for Ja. So you know the one we got for an expiring contract we can use for that. Well, we actually used that for Oladipo, and because of that, it actually kicked us back a $12.6 million trade exception, which is the contract for Steven Adams. And he said, yes, they're taking an injured player into an injured player trade exception. Nobody said the CBA would make perfect sense, but here we are. But that is the sneaky thing about all of that. So what happens is you had that disabled player trade exception for an expiring player's contract. They ended up using that to their benefit because it expired, I believe, next week after the trade deadline. To now you get another trade exception, which is pretty much the exact same thing. You pretty much put another 6 or 8 months onto that. So you gave yourself an extension to bring back somebody who doesn't need to be on an expiring contract, which they possibly could use in the offseason. So that's something to think about.
Well, and we've already talked about a handful of guys we thought could step in and be a really good center for this team. Like, I know Claxton's a big name around there. He's a guy who I think fits, but it's a little bit lower on my fits list. Like guys like Jared Allen, Clint Capella, all that I tend to like a lot. I think Claxton's good. I'm just not as big on him as I know a lot of people are. But like, you can go make that move, and I'm really hoping to God you do. Oladipo kind of come in.
God. Shut up, King Mink.
Anyways, I think the center position is too important for this team, and that Adams honestly fit too well for you to be like, hey, we're going to go draft a guy out of UNC, draft a guy out of Duke, whoever. I don't know the draft at all, clearly. Yeah.
Like the trivia, clearly.
But, yeah, I know the trivia like the back of my hand. And say, hey, that's going to replace a guy who was really integral to our success.
Right.
So, yeah, you know, we'll see. Ayton available? I don't know. I don't know. How do you feel about DeAndre Ayton? Purely out of curiosity.
No. Okay. I don't want him on my team. Nowhere close.
I got bad vibes from that dude. Maybe Monty just killed the vibe with DeAndre Ayton. So,
let's ask this question. Wayne wants to know, should we have waited? You know, at minimum, you know, we do have a good team on the bench. They are injured. You know, that we, I guess, got better in a sense by adding Smart, you know, and Vince is now becoming a rotational player. Why do you think they didn't wait until the year just to kind of make a healthy push with a healthy team?
They decided that wasn't the direction they were going for whatever reason. I have no idea what the reason would be, but they're like, Adams is not the future. And I can't, again, he is too integral to your success to just move him without knowing what direction you want to head in. He was too big of an impact for your team for you to not have a plan in place. So, like, I will say, as much as, like, I'm bummed Adams is gone, I am not worried as a Grizz fan. Like, they have something in mind. Yeah, like LOL Nope saying there at the bottom. Like, they have an idea of where they're going, and they have a plan in place. And I imagine it's a pretty clear-cut plan. They have no worries about executing.
Yeah.
Well, like, Atlanta's doing a fire sale. That's going to happen at some point. Capella could be made available. I mean, I figure the Nets are going to do some kind of sale at some point, but they keep draft. I mean, they keep not selling, like, DFS for 2 first-round picks. I'm convinced Masai's running Brooklyn. Too, not just Toronto, because those guys, like, 4 firsts for Mikal Bridges should have been a deal last year. They want to build around Mikal. Anyways, that's going to get me on a whole nother thing. Sorry, that's going to get me derailed. Stupid. You're stupid. You played yourself.
All right, as Grishwell saying, Kleiman's cooking. And listen, I think that there's something going on. I'm going to back it up and talk about the business side. That is not the sexy side of what we want to talk about. That's kind of the big thing I want to just discuss in general is the business side of it is the, I guess everybody thought that the salary cap was going up. Well, unfortunately it did not, from my understanding, it did not go up. And actually the Grizzlies were in the second apron of the cap, which means very high taxes, right? So what's happening now is the Grizzlies now back themselves out of that second apron to now they're in the first apron with these contracts as currently are. You can, you know, add then the rookies and whatever you need to do. They're still in the first apron. So they are a tax. They're in the tax, right? So at this point, they set themselves up to save some money, but also you get that luxury exemption. I'm sorry, that player exemption, which doesn't go to your salary cap. So you got rid of a $12.6 million guy, right, for this season. Doesn't hurt you next year. And you can actually add that same type of a player, that same contract, the same size for free next year because it's not to your salary cap. So that's one thing that the business side of it is you can make your team better because you don't actually have to have that go to your salary cap. So there's different ways that you can jump through hoops and intertwine all of the business side of this. And so I agree with everybody. I don't think they're done either. I think they have a plan in place. But let me just say, they don't have to do anything. If they do anything, it could be to possibly get off of Luke. And then in the offseason, it could be a completely different deal where there's a lot of teams that make more trades and make some more, you know, weird moves in the offseason because you have the flexibility that you're not playing games and you don't have to field a team. That's the biggest part of it. You can actually move these trade exceptions around and throw people different ways. But listen, I will. I agree. I do think it's weird. I do think it's tough because I do hate losing Steven Adams. But the biggest thing is I will never add Hassan Whiteside to my team.
Yeah, no, listen, that's why Goon's here. He's here so we can keep having fun. that's the other part of this is, man, it just sucks to not have Steve on the team, truly. Like,
it does.
He was just a dude that fit really well, I thought, with the vibes of the team and was just a fun guy to have. Bully dudes. I mean, the kind of guy that Memphis loves. And so it just sucks to have him gone. It's fun to have all the Steven Adams fans.
God, that's
now
what I
want to stay being Grizzlies fans, though. Because it's like everybody in the city, everybody that was a fan of the Grizzlies loved Steve-O. Then that became contagious. So it's fun to see that play out, but it sucks that now he's going to be on another team. Him and Dylan Brooks get to reunite for old time's sake. But that part of it does suck too. But honestly, at this point, the basketball perspective is what I'm super curious about, but not super worried about. Like I said, I can't imagine the Grizz don't have a plan in place. And I don't think the plan is Jaren at the five. If it is, I'm concerned.
I agree. I don't see it yet with Jaren because you're too small. So let's say they do move Jaren to the five because they get a backup, and whether that's Trey James, I don't care. I don't care who it is. Let's take the names out of it because yes, I do want, you know, a guy like Drummond, but if you get a guy like Drummond, I don't know if he's your starter in a sense, right? Because he's not even the starter for the Bulls, and the Bulls suck, right? Because they had another big guy. Do you bring him in? Possibly. It's in the offseason. You don't bring him in this year. You don't get him on an expiring contract and play him this year. So if anything like that, a guy like that would be a move you would get him for next season in general. But I hate moving off of Steve-O because dude was the absolute best. But from my understanding, there might have been some stuff in the locker room, some trust that was built in the past that was lost. And because of that, maybe that might be why you move on from him. I think in the end, this is all a financial thing. You're talking about a guy who's going to turn 31 this summer. He's had, you know, obviously an issue with his knee. Do you move on from him and say, hey, let's go ahead and move on because we can get younger. We can go ahead and get away from kind of the issue that we face with the taxes and we don't want to have to take a chance on you. This is a way out of paying more, but also a chance to kind of pick up some draft assets along the way. And so, as D'Angelo saying, you know, Steve-O didn't want to be here. I think I agree on that too. I think that it kind of just, I think the luster was kind of lost a little bit after a lot of what Jaws stuff happened. And so we'll see. But Austin saying as well, Steve-O didn't even play in the playoffs. And so that's what I kind of look at as well. He did sometimes, yes. So, but the times that you really need him, I feel like he wasn't they had to go away from him, especially down the stretch. He's not a guy you can close with either. And so that was okay. That's an issue.
I'm just gonna say that's just, I disagree with that entire point. Again, it's a moot point because it doesn't matter, but yeah. Steve-O could have completely flipped that Lakers series. Like, let's not say things that aren't necessarily true. So he could say he got played off the court in that Timberwolves series. He also, it could have just been the game plan wasn't working, right? Like, there's a lot of things that can go wrong. So I don't want to say that because I don't want us to be like slandering a guy. And I know it's not slander. I understand, but like, let's just keep it a book. I don't necessarily think that.
Well, I think it's in the end, like, he wasn't a guy that you close games with on a normal basis. That's a true statement. He wasn't. That's just true. He wasn't. He didn't close games a lot of times. That's fine. It's because of his free throw shooting a lot of times, right? They would foul him, hack a Adams, like that happened. But also, he was matchup based sometimes because people would try to take advantage of him on the defensive end, just out of matchups, just like they would with Luke. Okay, same exact thing. I'm not saying that he was a bad player. I'm saying that sometimes he is matchup based. But in the end, I love Steve-O. I love him. I'm being honest of just what I see basketball wise. I loved him. I think he was a perfect fit for this team. Unfortunately, right. It didn't work out. But I'm just talking through the basketball side of things.
Well, I just don't want to have us acting like we're taking some copium on the show, because like every true big is matchup based. That's just how it works.
Absolutely. That's what I'm saying.
So it's like he was still awesome, and let's not pretend he wasn't important and awesome for this team. Like,
he was important for Jaren Jackson Jr. and his growth 1,000%, and even Ja, like, because of the screens. But I'm just saying, for Jaren, the most, because it allowed him to play within himself. But that was the biggest thing. Is Jaren feasted? Everybody feasted off of him, man. What are we saying? He was amazing.
Well, I didn't want to derail us, but I just want to be like, dude, like, he truly could have flipped that entire Lakers series for you. Sure. So like, let's stay true to what he is and what he wasn't. Yeah. I have a question for you.
Yeah.
On this, Clint Capella's contract's up as of next year. Next year's his last year. You think his next contract's lower or higher?
How old's he going to be? He's going to be 31 as well, right?
Let me see.
What's he making?
Born in 94, so yeah, he'll be 30 or 31.
Yeah.
He's making 22 million next year. 22.2.
Never be more.
Going lower?
Yeah, especially with the salary cap lowering.
Cuz with a guy on his contract that's not expiring, but like next year's it. Again, with the state of the Hawks, I would be surprised if he's not available. Do you think that would make sense for Memphis at this point?
It makes sense, yes. But you're doing that because you're getting him this season. You don't need him this season. So you have an expiring contract for next year. What do you have to get up to make it match? Like, can you have that 12 million? What are you having to give up? If you can, and listen, all these trade player exceptions are weird, and they all have their weird, quirky rules, and I don't know all of them. If you can add that 12 million to two contracts that are just terrible, not any, like, you add that to Zaire and Jake, 100%.
Yeah, it doesn't even matter what else happens. You had me at Zaire and Jake. I forgot even what the first part was.
Yeah.
I don't even remember what we're
getting. The thing is, why would Atlanta do that? Unless they're just trying to get off of him, that's fine. Like a fire sale, I agree. But that has to be a first. So you're automatically throwing your first in, which one first, those guys, perfect. The problem is you're it's a rental in a sense because it's 1 year with him. You might be able to sign him for an extension, you know, 18 to 20 for another 2 years, right? But you're talking about a guy that's potentially out of his prime. The prime is 28 to 32, and he's going to be at the end of his prime, supposedly, you know, and so that's an issue.
I'd send the first to get rid of Jake and Zaire. I don't even care what comes back.
But you got to make it where
I'm kidding.
Atlanta
I'm
would kidding. Do something. So
it know. Is a that was a joke. Just to be
well,
clear.
As King Meek said, he wouldn't give up a first for him. That's the thing.
True. Like that's true. I don't know. You could also throw in Luke and then bring something else back. There's a lot of things that could happen. Anyways, I think the Grizzlies have something in mind of what they're going to do to replace Steve-O. we'll just have to all sit along, and hopefully we're not here in fall 2024 hopping on the pod like, who's our center gonna be?
Yeah, all right, let's get through some of these that I starred in here. Playboy Danny said, I think this trade helps us more than it hurt us, which I can agree in a sense, because it does help financially. I think it actually cleans your books up a little bit, and gives you potentially a guy that you can count on, you know, that's not coming back off of a injury, potentially, depending on what, how they use it. Wayne said earlier, I take Max Strew straight for Luke. I stubbed my toe out for 5 weeks, Kennard. That
was pretty funny. Yeah, I mean.
All right, John 17 wants to know, why didn't Tosan play?
I don't know who Tosan is. Like, I know who he is. I know he's on the Grizzlies and he's got signed. But, like, yeah, I mean, I got no reason for him to play.
Yeah.
To be honest.
All right. As Grizz 12 says, do you think we could make a package including our 2024 pick for Jalen Duren?
I mean, you could throw together a package. I would be surprised if Detroit took it, though. I can't imagine they give up Duren.
I can't imagine either, because you're talking about a guy on an exceptional contract. You do have the other big. They traded away one big already. So why would you get rid of Jalen Duren? You have to have somebody play, and he's been one of the exceptional players. Yeah. All right, should Kleiman throw in a bid for Claxton? What's your thoughts on Speedy Claxton?
I mean, because I can't remember who it is. I don't know if it's the current GM or who it might be. I know there's a past relationship between Kleiman and the Nets through some way or another. I wouldn't be surprised if that's the follow-up move. Yeah. Like, I wouldn't be surprised with that at all. So, again, I'm not as big on Claxton as a lot of people, but I do think he fits. Like, I would be happy with Claxton. Like, I do like Claxton, so I'd be good with that. I also see a Bobby Portis comment.
Oh, my God, I saw that.
Let's go. I want crazy eye Bobby Portis.
He can't even get on the court in Milwaukee right now.
Well, listen, Doc Rivers just blew a game against Portland. So, like, what do we care? Like, I don't care. Bobby Portis is awesome, dude. And he's a psychopath, which means I'm immediately in love with him. Get him to the team. He'll rebound the piss out of the ball. He'll make some corner threes. And by God, he will punch somebody. I love Bobby Portis.
We need people that punch.
Plus, his contract's doable. Let me go find that contract.
I don't care about his contract. We're not getting crazy ad Bobby Portis.
I mean, we're not going to get him, but I want him. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's averaging 12.1 a year, just under the trade exception. Oh. So you're saying there's a chance.
King Meek's Doc Rivers is trash. Bring this
up. Yeah, it is amazing that Doc went there. They did their little dance and immediately dropped two games. One to the Portland Trailblazers. That's hilarious. In a game where all of them played, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh, it's amazing. And Giannis didn't find a way to 10 rebounds somehow. I'm not bitter.
All right, let's go ahead and get into our third segment. We're going to go ahead and take about a one-minute break, and then we'll be right back.
Not just the level of individual talent that he plays, but it's also the level of his mind. We haven't gotten cross-court open shot this year. Right. We haven't seen that pass a lot. Number one, you got to respect him going to the basket. There's a roller. I got to watch the roller. He has the mind to be able to say, I see all of that, and now I see this guy over here. I'm going to get him this open shot. How shifty he is to always be going forward. It's usually side to side.
Yeah.
His dribble moves are side to side, but going forward.
Right.
Which is very hard to defend. I just want to get you, as many times can I get you to do this? But for him, it's not here. It is here, which is with are his moves to get down the floor. It's awkward for a defender to try to catch a cadence. This, you dribble. So now what I do is, now when you go put that ball down, I'm going for it. But with him, there's no, it's hard for my cadence. But... Right. What's my cadence for you? Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is.
Tune in to the Anthony Sane Show Wednesdays and Fridays at 12 p.m. weekly on the Bluff City Media YouTube channel.
Yo, welcome back. We have to share some important news. It is about to be Valentine's Day, and Heaven's Healthy Kitchen. you know, you see him all the time, is a proud sponsor of the game preview. Before we get to that, let's talk a little bit about the Valentine's Day pop-up event. It will be happening on Valentine's Day here in Memphis. And so make sure you go ahead and let them know that you want to order some things, whether you use it for Valentine's Day or whether you use it the next day, whatever you want to do. They do have pre-orders only. It's a meal and a drink plus a dessert for $20. All you have to do is go over to orderhhk.com. You can see the full menu there. It actually does have another place that if you go to order HHK, already up there, it explains everything completely. Just go make sure you give them a shout out, man. They're doing great work down there, and it all is plant-based. It's a grassroots business that started right here in Memphis. Chef Smith is a Memphian that promotes healthy eating and wellness. Are you looking to cook at home? Well, go get Chef Smith's cookbook right off of Amazon and download it today. Heaven's Healthy Kitchens continues to do these monthly pop-ups, and this next one is the Valentine's Day pop-up. So make sure you hit up orderhhk.com and let Chef Smith know that you want to get hooked up for Valentine's Day. Go ahead and go do it now. They've been serving and catering plant-based and vegan gourmet foods straight to you. So shout out to Heaven's Healthy Kitchen, doing great work. So the pop-up event is coming. You have to pre-order. That's the most important thing. Might have to, I'll have to get one or get something and let y'all know how it tastes. Maybe I'll get something a little bit ahead of time. We'll see.
Surely is a heck of a deal. So go hop on it. And honestly, I know that this is not something we get into much, but it is like we live in a world where it's really easy to eat a McDonald's cheeseburger and it's really hard to eat well. And I say this because I DoorDash Taco Bell out the butt. So I know. So it's cool to have people like Heaven's Healthy who are actually providing good, healthy meals. So that's good to know. And I'm curious, what are your thoughts on old Valentine's Day?
Oh, I hate it.
I hate it. I don't believe in it at all. We do not celebrate in the Qualls house. That was established month 3 of the dating relationship. This is not something that we do.
I hate it.
Don't do it. But I love taking advantage of good deals like Heaven's Healthy's deal on it. So go get myself some chocolates, just eat a whole little box to myself while I'm watching the Grizzlies almost win basketball games. It's a lot of fun. Also, I do want to shout out LOL Note for the Costa Kufis reference. I saw that there. I was a big fan of that. I have one question for you before we hop into your last segment, though.
Yeah, what's up?
Why don't you like Bobby Portis?
I do like Bobby Portis. I don't think he's... I haven't looked at his contract. I think he's fine. I just think that this team needs a special set of skills. I think this team needs they're missing a player or so, and I think it just needs to be the right fit, because when I break it down, I can count almost 8 guys on this team that I'm like, hey, they should all be playing. I just don't know if Bobby Portis fits completely with, and I hate saying this, with the vibes of Memphis. I don't know. I think he's the perfect Grizzly. I do. I really do. I love Bobby Portis. I just don't know if he fits. I just think there needs to be some kind of a level of a swagger in a sense, just by looking at this team and know who they are. I don't know. I don't know. That's weird.
That's Bobby Portis. Bobby Portis is everything we hope Santi Aldama could turn into. And we know that he can't quite get there. Bobby Portis is... No, let me flip that. Santi is Kroger brand Bobby Portis. We would love Bobby Portis on this team. He's not what you need. He doesn't fit the need that you have.
Yeah, right.
But... And the vibes thing would not be a question.
Really?
No, what are you talking about? I have no idea what you mean by that.
I just don't think he's I don't know. I'm not going to get into it. But as Alan says, shout out Bobby. I do like him. Whatever. Santi is Aldi's.
Sorry. I don't want to take it. We were about to get way off track. So good job reining me in.
All right. Shout out to everybody here hanging out with us. Let's go ahead and get to the game preview. Wayne's going back to work. Give Wayne a shout out.
Shout out, Wayne.
Wayne is not even here in America.
It's cool when Wayne says it.
It's definitely cool. All right, let's get into the Warriors game that is tomorrow night. We're already over our hour, and I believe we're still – I think we're potentially still streaming on Twitter.
Allegedly.
Sometimes we end and then have to restart it. Yeah, we're still streaming. Who knows what's happening? Warriors game. The Warriors have sucked lately. Yeah. They do have Draymond Green back. Just any kind of expectations, you know, on a back-to-back
beat
for a team?
Their ass. Come on. That's a team that, like, again, they should be underdogs against every team on the planet, but I'm like, come on, beat them. Do it to them. Do it to
them. What do you think the line is?
I haven't even looked at this game. This game's tomorrow night?
It is tomorrow night. I promise you, I have not done any research either.
Memphis? Oh, I just saw the line. I was going to say 6.5.
No, it's not. It's 5.5.
Yeah, but I did see the line when I looked at that. Sorry. I love watching that Warriors team fail. That's so awesome. I watched that double overtime game against the Lakers, and it was awesome because it was just like an absolute struggle bus all the way through. It was like, no matter who wins, you both lose. So it was a perfect game.
Yeah. Well, the great thing about it, it's a Bane giveaway, I believe. It's the goal giveaway. I think that is for Friday, which is cool. It's not the Aquaman flip-flops.
Yeah, that's not happening anymore.
The Golden State Warriors are 20-24. I just think that this Warriors team has been struggling. Let's look at their last five games. They've lost 3 of 5. They did win against Philly on the 30th. And so you're talking about a team that's coming off of a decent win, you know, an Embiid-less. Speaking of him, man, shout out to Embiid, you know, torn meniscus, potentially out for a good minute, if not the season. You can possibly play through that, but it's tough. The Grizzlies won the first meeting 116-107 in Memphis. And so this team does. They're going to get up for it. I don't think Jaren played tough minutes at all. And so with this team being young, I don't worry about the back-to-backs except for the end of the third. If you can somehow get to the fourth without falling off at the end of the third, I think we saw the last time we had a back-to-back, that is really what kills us, is the end of the third. As long as you're in the game, as long as you can push through that, once you get to the fourth quarter, you're fine because, right, you can kind of see it right there. So it's all about getting that.
Well, both teams want this game. I don't think the Grizzlies care too much about winning the rest of this. And I'm not saying the players. I'm saying coaches, organization. The players also, they're going to go out and compete every night. They also know what this is, right?
Yeah.
This is going to be one of those matchups they want. They both teams want this, right? In a season that doesn't have much worth playing for either team, both teams have something to play for when they play each other. So I expect a good effort. I don't expect tired legs. They're going to be in Memphis.
Charlie, shout out. Half the team is new to the NBA, so they'll have fresh legs.
That is true. Surprisingly, Vince might be one of the oldest guys on the team, I think.
Which definitely is hilarious. The craziest. Him and crazy,
but, crazy guys. Look, I think it'll be a fun matchup. We'll see. Like, both teams are on a massive struggle bus. Like, it's hilarious because, again, we're all about silver linings on this show.
Yeah.
You could be the Bulls. You could be Charlotte. You could be Washington. You could be Golden State. Like, this is the Golden State team. This is what they have to work with. The Grizzlies, like, our team is not in Cabo, but they're a little bit further to the tunnel than everybody else. So, again, I think it'll be fun. It'll be a fun game. I think the Steph-Vince matchup will be fun. We saw Vince having a psychopath smile last time they played. So, I'm looking forward to it. I don't really know what to expect. So, I think both teams will get up for it. And so I think it'll be competitive. I think it'll be really an actually competitive game. I hope we see a lot of Trey. Like, of all the guys we want to see, like, Gigi obviously is towards the top of the list. We've talked about this. Like, Trey Jamison is a guy who I really think could be, like, a diamond in the rough, could be your backup big. Like, I really think he could have a place on an NBA team. I hope we see him early and often, not just in this game, but going forward. Right. So super excited for that. I hope Jaren dominates. That's the only other thing.
Yeah.
I want to see Jaren dominate that matchup.
Yeah, and I'm curious how it works because you're talking about a guy in Draymond Green who likes to foul bait, especially Jaren, you know, and them having that experience and both being from, you know, Michigan State and having that. I do think that there's potential there, especially you're talking about Clay, who is he's a baby. He'll talk about his rings anytime you ask.
How many does he have?
I don't care. That's how many. and then you have Steph, who's always going to foul bait as well, in a sense. And so, listen, if anything, I hope we see a spiked mouthpiece from Steph. That's
gonna
always
be my favorite. A whole lot of TWS going on.
Yeah. But anyway, listen, shout out to everybody for kind of just hanging out with us as always. You know, the Warriors game is going to be fun as it always is. It's a Friday night. And so make sure you tune in and turn up for that. But last thing, as always, the game previews are always sponsored by Heaven's Healthy Kitchen. The Valentine's Day pop-up event is coming on Valentine's Day. Make sure you go ahead and get your pre-orders in now. You can go over to orderhhk.com and go ahead and get them in. Man, I'm telling you, try them out. Give them a shot for anything other than supporting people, supporting locals, doing business for us and with us. And so go shout out to orderhhk. I'm going to do that myself. Whether I eat it on Valentine's or eat it the next day, I'm going to get it. So Chef Smith, I'll be reaching out very soon. But anything else you got before we get out of here?
One, people forgot how good Colin Sexton is. Two, man, this is a game with Natalie Sago and Josh Tivins officiating.
And the TWS guy.
Man, that's Josh Tivins. You can't really say that for old Natalie, but yeah, Josh Tivins. Yeah.
I meant Clay, yes, but yeah.
Yeah, I know what you meant, but I was relating it back to what I was saying in the moment. Yes, that's Clay.
All right, real quick. Grizz 12 wants to know, how about the Grizz trade for John Collins and keep Jaren at the five? Mm-mm. Nope. Mm-mm. Welp. Oh, that was easy.
I'm good. I don't hate John Collins. I think it's one of those where you like the idea of John Collins more than what he's actually going to give you if he comes here.
Yeah.
Personally.
I agree. We'll see, man. Daniel's saying, you know, the Warriors don't have an answer for Jaren. Like, I agree, but I also do think that Draymond is going to kind of be tough for him. They're going to play a little bit small. Mm-hmm. You do have Kevon Looney, who has been playing. Jonathan Kuminga could be an issue for the simple fact, if you think about it, you're going to have, you know, Vince on Steph, I would imagine. And then the other guys, it really doesn't matter as much on who they, you know, mismatch with. But then you have Kuminga potentially matched up with Santi. That could be one of them. Kuminga could really feast just from being athletic in this game. But, we've held teams, you know, with, you know, low totals in the past. Tonight they went under again. And so who knows? I do think that Kuminga is a threat.
He can be, but I don't know. I'm not the biggest Jonathan Kuminga fan in the world.
Kuminga's a problem.
He can be for sure. He can be, but
listen, I'm not worried about Jaren. I've said this comment to the last. Roddy and Zaire in a Memphis street fight, loser leaves town wrestling match, and then Goon is the ref.
I mean, I'm cool with it because I've seen the body types, so I'm pretty sure I know who will win.
So we get Zaire gone, and we get this Goon ref.
Yeah, exactly. How come people quit throwing Jake LaRavia into these conversations, by the way? I'm not going to let us
literally forget about him.
No, I didn't, because guess what? He's on the books. Not allowed to forget about until he's off the books.
Whatever. All right, that's all we got. I hope you enjoyed this show. Shout out to the team over at Bluff City doing big things. So we got a new intro. Go back and check it out. Mark, who you know is with Bluff City, did an amazing job on it and kind of put it all together. Just received some news that big things are coming to Bluff City Media. It really is. I can't share, unfortunately, but some big things are coming to Bluff City Media. I do have something up my sleeve that I'm hoping that we can present bring out, unleash soon enough. I still got to do some work on it, man. But listen, the comment section, sponsored by Street Cards of Memphis. Go give them a call. You guys are always the best. The positivity, the great interaction that the show has with you all, just from y'all all together. A lot of it tonight, I didn't even have to bring it up. Y'all were talking, through each other. A lot of times I was enjoying that. And honestly, I feed off of y'all from a lot of the questions I get. So thank you all, as always, for being awesome. But that's all we got. We'll see y'all back tomorrow night. Be nice and tell your friends.